from start to finish. Pro Seamless of Wisconsin is here to help.
You've been listening to Rafter Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, American Shaman, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, S&S Distributing, Econ Electric, Greenaway RV, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Pro Seamless of Wisconsin, Swiftwater Ice Cream, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Listen into Rafters Baseball here on WFHR all summer long, or check us out on the Civic Media app.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Count begins 0-2 in this top of the ninth inning to Jorge Degatti. A called strike on a fastball, then a breaking ball on the Rafter right fielder. 8-0, Battle Creek leading here at MCCU Field. 0-2 off-speed fouled away by Degatti down the first base side. And Yakum Cohen Kapoor on WFHR rounding out our Michigan trip here tonight against the Battle Jacks. This is the fourth and final matchup between the teams this season.
Jorge, one of the final hopes for Wisconsin Rapids here in this ballgame. He's 0-3, two balls on the ground, one in the air throughout this game. Michael Adari trying to continue what he started back when he closed down the eighth inning.
Adari in relief of Cameron Havlin. We'll talk more about him in our postgame show. Make sure to stick around here on WFHR. We'll take about a 4 to 5 minute break after the game comes to a conclusion. County pins 2-2 on Degatti, the last delivery missing low and outside. The payoff pitch, breaking ball, got him swinging. Degatti down on strikes to lead off this ninth inning.
So Adari struck out two Rafters for his two outs recorded here in this game. Chris Arroyo, then Max McGuire, the last hope of my pseudo yard card, will step to the batter's box on deck. I think Andy and Abby theirs have gone by the wayside unless the inning does extend for Grayson Schaefer and Cashel.
That's right. I'd Schaefer. I was going to ask you who I took. That is right. Schaefer, my selection tonight. Chris Arroyo going back with the batting gloves here in the ninth inning. He takes a first pitch from the right-hander Adari outside for ball one. The 1-0 delivery to the Rafter left fielder. Carbon copy of what we just saw, missing away. 8 runs, 12 hits, no errors for Battle Creek. No runs on 5 hits and no errors for Wisconsin Rapids. As we mentioned in the last half inning, Rapids in danger of being shut out for the fifth time this season as the 2-0 delivery from the right-hander Adari misses up and away.
The Rafters and the Battle Jacks, a scoreless ball game through 5 frames. 5.5, in fact. Then in the bottom of the 6th, 7th, and 8th is when the Battle Jacks struck in all of their runs.
Backdoor breaking ball from Adari on the 3-0. It's in there for a called strike. Arroyo still ahead, and he's going to look for that heater here on the 3-1. Adari rocks and fires. Another off-speed on the outside corner. He is not giving in with that, and it's a called strike to make it a full count. 3 balls, 2 strikes, 1 out, the payoff. Breaking ball hit in the air, shallow left field. Caden Wotipka had a good beat on it. He'll trot near the foul line to make the grab. 2 up, 2 down here in the ninth.
Michael Adari, 1 out away from slamming the door on this ballgame. A masterful pitching performance up to this point for the Battle Creek Battle Jacks, a team that has struggled to do that here this season. This is one of the teams that is always very up and down. We saw that over in Wisconsin Rapids when they just couldn't get it out against the Raptors. And here, executing everything the right way. 8 2/3 scoreless frame so far.
First pitch breaking ball to Max McGuire, hit in the air, right side of the infield, foul territory behind the first base bag. That is Garrett Smith to make the catch and end the ball game. 1-2-3, ninth inning for Michael Adari. The Rafters shut out for the fifth time this season. Your final score, the Battle Jacks 8 and the Rafters nothing. We'll be back here in about 4 or 5 minutes for the official postgame show of Rafter Baseball on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL-HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL-HHS or the U.S. government.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee. A nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Barr.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Now, let's get back to exciting Rafters baseball here on WFHR.
Final score here tonight at MCCU Field. The Battle Jacks 8, the Rafters nothing. The final game of our four-game Michigan trip and the final game of four total between the Battle Jacks and the Rafters this season. This is the first time Wisconsin Rapids has lost to Battle Creek and is the fifth time they have been shut out this season. Andy Ockham, Colin Kapoor back here in the broadcast booth on WFHR bringing you your official post-game show of Raptor baseball right now. Colin, the Raptors just could never get it going tonight. Five hits, they left four on. There wasn't much of an opportunity for them to really strike due to the dominance on the hill from Cameron Haviland in his final start here in Battle Creek. 7 2/3 innings for the right-hander. Five hits. He walked one and struck out three on 111 pitches.
Yeah, and it started from pitch number one of those 111. Andy, it wasn't even... It was very interesting to me because I said throughout the game that the Raptors were barreling him up, but the Raptors really continued to do that. But Alex Fernandez was right there in center field. The defense was so sharp, no errors after five yesterday. The Battle Jacks learned from their mistakes yesterday. They executed the changes here today. They adapted to what the Raptors were doing to them, and this is what happens. And yes, ending a road trip, getting shut out is not optimal, but the last two games were very, very good for Wisconsin Rapids, but this has been a common theme all season, right, Andy, that the Raptors, we see the flashes of what they can accomplish, of what they're capable of, and then here, they're just not consistently doing that, especially on the road. They get Max McGuire back into the lineup, but as if a flipping of a coin, there's no Owen McElfatrick in the lineup, there's no Jack Mathie in the lineup, and this is what we see. We see a lack of consistency ending in another split 2-2 road trip for Wisconsin Rapids.
Lone bright spot of the Raptor offense today, a multi-hit game for Aiden Teal, his seventh consecutive multi-hit game. He singled in the first and had an infield knock in the sixth. Eight runs on 10 hits, no errors, six left on for Battle Creek. It was a scoreless ball game entering the bottom half of inning number six. That's because Kenji Pilaris, in his third start with the Raptors, his fourth appearance, and his first start away from Winter Field, five shutout innings for the right-hander. From San Gabriel, California, and California State University, Northridge, he allowed three hits and walked one, struck out five on 62 pitches. He was fantastic tonight, but then it was Evan Parker coming in out of relief. The first call at the stable tonight, he went an inning and two-thirds. He's the Rafter who got roughed up, allowing 8 hits, 7 runs, all of which were earned. He walked one and struck out one on 53 pitches. Kyle Bender throwing the final inning and a third, allowing 1 hit, 1 run, walking one and striking out 3 on 28 pitches. Haviland getting the win tonight, the loss going to Parmer. Cullen, fantastic work from Polaris, like I just mentioned, but for Parmer, just happened to be the guy tonight who couldn't come through for the Rafters out of the bullpen. He had been given the stopper tag for a little bit, but push came to shove. The Rafters needed their right-hander to throw. They couldn't go any longer without him tossing, and tonight just wasn't up to the challenge.
Absolutely, you're right. And on the Polaris end, absolutely masterful appearance from him. And sometimes you just got to tip your cap, right? Haviland had a fantastic start. He out-dueled Kenji. And yes, like I said on the broadcast, obviously not what you want to see from Evan Parmer, and it's the kind of thing that we've seen before over the past week where the Rafters starting pitching, I crunched the numbers on this before the road trip. Entering this road trip, Rafters starters were at a 2.67 ERA throughout the past week. You extend that to this road trip, yes, Houston High didn't accomplish exactly what he wanted to, but other than that, Maddox Thornton yesterday was amazing, Kenji today was amazing, and Tristan Krusenberry was amazing in Game 2 against Kalamazoo. Everything in the starting pitching end has gone so well, and then you get to the bullpen. It's a situation where it's not a set piggyback like Bryson Moore. It's not a set piggyback like Nick Paulson. It's Evan Parmer who comes in and doesn't even, the game wasn't close after he came into the ballgame. And that's just inexcusable for Wisconsin Rapids. The game was lost in that seventh inning when Evan Parmer gave up those three runs. It was 7-0. There's no chance for an offense after that. And that's why the Rafters lost this game. You can point to the offense, of course, but when you don't feel like you're in a ballgame, you can't win a ballgame. And that's what happened here today.
Four runs in the sixth, three in the seventh, one in the eighth for Battle Creek. Once again, the win tonight to Cameron Haviland, the loss to Evan Parmer. No save. Time of the game, 2 hours, 31 minutes, 577 the attendance here at MCCU Field. 85 degrees and sunny at the time of first pitch. No runs, 5 hits, no errors, and a total of 4 left on for Wisconsin Rapids. 8 runs, 12 hits, no errors, 6 left on for the Battle Jacks. That'll do it for us here in Michigan this week. I'm back here on these airwaves tomorrow in Witter Field territory, Witter Field press box against the Wausau Woodchucks. It'll be the sixth, or I should say make that the fifth, of 8 total matchups between Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids this month back here on WFHR. It's a 6:35 first pitch, around a 6:25 pregame show right here on your FM AM dials at 97.5, 1320, or on your Civic Media apps. Cullen will be leaving us here on the radio side of things and rejoining his primary position with the Rafters as the TV voice on the Northwoods League Plus app. Cullen, I want to thank you personally for joining us here for these last 4 days in Michigan, making the trip to Kalamazoo and to Battle Creek, my friend. I know there is plans to have you back on the road with us at some point in Green Bay in August, that being an adequate enough setup to accommodate for both of us to call a game together. I know we had called a game at Capital Credit Union Park prior to making this trip, but it was a real joy to spend the last 4 days here in the press box with you, and I'm looking forward to doing it again soon, my friend.
Absolutely. Great to be here. Thank you for letting me come along and tag along on your show, spout my inspirational quotes and my puns here on your broadcast. I do appreciate it. Like I said during the broadcast, very good experience for me to come here and travel with the team, see behind the scenes, and see the world that you live in every day, Andy. So it was obviously a very great experience. Did not end the way we may have hoped for Wisconsin Rapids, but we'll still sign off on a positive note here on WFHR because it was a blast to be here, blast to be on your radio, see the way that you operate every single day firsthand. Yes, I'm to your left every single day at Witter Field, but you know, I'm usually paying attention to more of what I'm saying when I'm in the friendly confines of our press box. So very cool to be here with you. Hopefully we can do it again over at Green Bay next time.
We'll see you tomorrow night, 6:25 pregame show once again against the Wausau Woodchucks. Rafters go 2-2 here in this Michigan trip. Thank you so much for turning into this present of Rafter Baseball. For myself, Andy Ockham, and my partner, Cullen Kapoor, signing off for now. Have a good rest of your night and a good day tomorrow before we catch you again on WFHR.
Not all people are the same. And yet, when we visit the doctor, our treatments don't look that different. Why is that? Because we just don't have enough information to do it better. By gathering health data from 1 million people, our country's best researchers will be able to develop treatments that are as unique and complex as we are. With this new information, doctors will have a better understanding of disease so they can innovate the next great breakthroughs in medicine.
And that way, it can be fringe because it's not dictated by what mainstream culture wants.
Yeah. My guest is Kristen Leidy. She is a Green Bay-based stand-up comedian, and she's joining me here in studio on Nightlight. And it's great to have you here, Kristen. You, all right, so we kind of started with this cool festival that Katie will hopefully make. Your pal, your comedic pal. Tell us a little bit about you, the comedian. How did you get started and tell us how it happened.
Yeah, I grew up in Green Bay, but 2008 to 2018, I was living in Chicago. And, you know, I was kind of going to open mics and just watching. I've always loved stand-up comedy, but I had the idea you were sort of preordained by God and you just emerged a stand-up comic and you were good at it. And then I started going to open mics and seeing like, oh, well, I could do that.
Both ways, there's a lot of pressure there.
Yeah. And I had a friend who was doing a book release and she mentioned, hey, you know, it'd be kind of fun if you tried this stand-up comedy thing and hosted my book release. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
So we did that and it went really well. I got addicted real quick. And then since I was in Chicago, you could just do open mics multiple times a night.
Yeah.
And then I started getting booked on shows and it just has been really fun ever since.
It's funny. That's where I started doing stand-up was in Chicago when I was in college. And you're right. At that point in the 90s, you could work the whole year without leaving town, which was appealing. I mean, I think you kind of get your chops on the road a little bit. That helps you. But it's sort of a double-edged sword. Like, just doing it in Chicago isn't going to help you get seen necessarily by TV shows or for festivals and stuff like that. But you're right. You can. It's such a great training ground. So when did you decide to come back to Green Bay?
Yeah, actually, I decided to move back to Green Bay around 2018 because of my day job. I'm a union organizer. And at that point, I kind of looked around Chicago and was like, they got it covered. And, you know, I wanted to come home and build union power here and be closer to my family. And I realized I'd be kind of, you know, not being able to get up as much to perform.
Right.
But then what happened was I moved back and everyone was like, so you can do a half hour, right? And I was like, because, you know, Chicago, your sets are 6 to 10 minutes.
Right.
And, you know, you just get in that kind of rut of doing your tight 10 over and over. So it was actually, I think, the best thing that ever happened in my comedy career.
No kidding. Well, it's funny how that happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's an interesting sidebar, if you will. When I was, it was about 1995, 1996, and the money in stand-up comedy kept getting lowered by club owners.
Oh, I bet.
So I didn't start this, but I was one of the main people. There was like two or three other guys, and they pulled me into it, and they said, we have to stop this. So we organized this big boycott of all the comedy clubs.
Oh,
we sat down at Zany's with Bert Haas at the time and Rick Hewitt, and there was like four of us that went in there, and we tried to get them to stop lowering the money. Mm-hmm. And it did work. I mean, like for a while, but what happened was they offered the organizers house MC gigs that were pretty good money and to end the whole thing. And I'm very proud of myself. I didn't do it. I said, that would look really weird. And he goes, really? Well, your three other guys are doing it. I'm like, well, good for them.
Good
I'm
for not, you, man.
Man. I knew I was moving to LA anyway. But anyway, that's so cool. I didn't know. We'll talk about your union organizing, too, and how.
Cool. Yeah.
And if you can use stand-up comedy when it comes to organizing unions, because I think those are probably can go hand in hand.
Oh, definitely.
All right, cool. Katie Bowman is not here. Unfortunately, she's stuck at O'Hare, but we've got Kristen Leidy, and this whole thing started with Kristen, and she is in, not the whole thing, like the whole world, but this evening on Nightlight started with Kristen, and we will talk more with her about her career here in Green Bay, and I've got a lot of questions for her. We'll do some union organizing. Maybe we'll organize a union here.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll get Conrad involved. He's the tough sell right there.
Sounds good.
That's coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
So Sherry texted in her answer to the Good Buffalo question, but I don't, can I read that, Conrad, or should we?
Sure, yeah.
Sherry says 35. And again, the question is, how many varieties of the flute has Good Buffalo played? 28, 42, 50, or 35? And Sherry from Horicon says 35. When in doubt, she did not Charlie out. I would have said 50, just, but 50's a lot, though. That's the highest number on there. I'd go 28. I think they're throwing us off. What do you think, Kristen?
I did not know there was more than one kind of flute.
Maybe you're not the person we should ask about. I don't know either. I'm just taking a stab here. So Sherry says 35, but Sherry, you have to go to the Facebook page for Mino and the Mayor if you want to actually qualify or have that answer qualify. And then Bridget from the 818 says, great question. Hard to choose. This is in relation to our appetizer. What is your favorite appetizer question? And it could be, what is your favorite appetizer when you binge watch TV or just have friends over or whatever? My whole life is centered around watching TV, so I will claim that. But Bridget says cheese curds. She says, hard to choose, but being a Wisconsin girl, I have to say cheese curds. Nothing wrong with that. Do you have a favorite appetizer, Christian?
Bacon wrap dates. Oh my God.
Nice. I just had those, like, 3 weeks ago, my mom made, oh my gosh,
that's
were those
so good.
And you know what? It's funny. Dates are, that's like one of those things I, when you're eight, when I was like, let's say 12 and you said, one day you're really going to like dates. I might've gotten into a fist fight over that. Cause they look so, you know what I mean? Like dates, really?
Yeah. They don't look appetizing.
They're delicious. Though.
They are. They're really
and they're
good
for you.
And satisfying.
Yeah, it's satisfying. Very, very well said. I was not expecting that answer.
Oh, yeah.
Bacon wrap dates. That's very fancy. Yeah, I said potato skins. I'm like Johnny Lunchpail over here. Speaking of which, Johnny Lunchpail, you said you organize unions. That's got to be tough in this day and age. I mean, my wife is a teacher. Half the teachers in 2010 voted against their own interests for Act 10, and I think it's been a mess.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
absolutely.
Can the teachers' union ever come back here?
I believe it.
Yeah.
I've been a union organizer for 15 years, and 2017, I decided I wanted to come back home and work for the teachers' union because I found it in a very pivotal, exciting state.
Yeah.
Because essentially, we don't have contracts in Wisconsin because of Act 10.
Right.
So what that means is anything that, you know, teachers want to win or advocate for, they do through collective action. So that looks like petitions, turning out to board meetings, having, you know, these face-to-face conversations to move the agenda items they care about. And to me, that's unionism in its purest form. And so I was very excited to come back and work in this environment. And, you know, over the past few years, we've seen nationally, there's an increase in public opinion of unions. I think it's because we all realize, oh my God, we're getting poorer.
Screwed.
Yeah. And, you know, in Wisconsin, we've actually grown our union this year for the first time since Act 10. So people are starting to understand this organizing model. And it's taken off.
Why did it even take that? Why did it even take that long? That's what drives me crazy. I cannot stand the voter, regardless of issue, that is getting screwed and says, we got to do our part. Oh, you're that guy? Okay. How easily swayed are you?
I feel like a lot of politics is theater, and it's used to scapegoat us against each other and really drive us away from our own self-interest. So they are masterful at it.
I don't talk politics much on this show. And this isn't really politics. This is like just, it's a separate issue. There are people on both sides of the aisle that like or don't like unions.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's okay to do that. And it strikes a nerve because of Act 10 and what happened when
absolutely.
And that was right after we moved back, or it was right before we moved back here. So I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Our union has actually started a lawsuit to say that you can't treat some public sector unions differently than others. I'm sorry, public sector workers differently than others. So
it's discrimination.
Exactly. Yeah. So the judge has let the case proceed. We had oral arguments last month and, you know, the legislature, of course, wanted it shot down, but it is moving forward and we think we got a real shot.
Excellent.
Here.
Excellent. Good luck. I hope. All right. I just need to take a breath here. Go back to hosting the show. Okay. So let's get back to stand-up comedy. You started in Chicago. You came back to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. How often, is this a hard city to be based out of? Or do you travel from here? Or you mostly just say, you know what? I love comedy, but I'm only going to do local gigs. I don't want to travel.
I do travel quite a bit. I would say I'm on the road 2 to 3 weekends a month.
Okay.
I love the Green Bay airport. From my door to getting to the airport to park and getting through security is usually 15 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
It is a dream.
Wow. I hope Katie heard that while she's stuck at O'Hare right now. So,
but I do drive a lot. I do a lot of shows around the Midwest, like independent rooms and festivals. Later next month, I'm doing the Madison Comedy Week, and then the following week, Alternating Currents in Davenport, Iowa. And I'm a lover of all things Midwest. So
yeah, okay.
I think that's pretty much my brand.
Are audiences different within the Midwest states? Like, do you find that Green Bay crowds are different than Chicago crowds? Those are different than Iowa or Michigan. Do you notice differences or nuances within crowds?
Yeah, if I'm in a larger city, I'll generally talk more about my day job, and that's usually celebrated. Sometimes in a way that is annoying, like clapter, you know, I'm like, okay, I haven't like told you anything laugh worthy yet, you know, hold it on. And then I've noticed, like, upon leaving the Midwest, they don't like true crime jokes. They don't like dark humor. And like,
outside, I feel like, the Midwest, they don't like that? Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I feel like the Midwest eats that up, especially Wisconsin audiences.
We have so many true crimes here, too. That's what I don't understand. Like, I guess we have a sense of humor about ourselves. Let's do this. You mentioned that we can give away tickets to the Fringe Festival. If anyone is listening and would like free tickets to this weekend's Fringe Festival here in Green Bay, where they're offering all kinds of different comedy and sketch and what else?
So these tickets would have to be just for my shows that I'm producing, because I don't want to give other producers tickets away. But these shows are Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the Green Bay Community Theater. You'll see about 6 to 7 comics from all over the country, different lineups every night. It'll be a really fun time.
All right. So we have 2 tickets for whoever texts in and wants to go check out Katie's comedy. And we'll play a little bit of Katie's comedy in the next segment. You get a sense of it. And you can hear how funny she is, and we'll have 2 tickets waiting for you. Maybe we'll give away 2 more. We'll see how it goes. But we'll do that, and hopefully we can help you put some butts in the seats. That would be fun.
Yeah.
And talk about it tomorrow night as well. So who are your influences, Katie?
Kristen. I would say...
Kristen. I have a daughter named Katie. So
well, I said I was bringing Katie.
Yeah,
Katie, Kristen is, you know, very interchangeable.
Oh, jeez.
I would say my favorite comedian is Maria Bamford.
Oh, she's funny.
Yeah, she's so funny and just so authentic and true to herself. I really love her work.
You know, the biggest thing I regret about... I never actually officially quit stand-up. I still do it sometimes. But it's like, when I segued into writing, I sort of didn't hang out with comedians as well. Like, I still have my core group from my Chicago comedy friends. They're still my best friends to this day, but people like Maria Bamford, like, I was around her a lot when I first moved to LA. And she was so cool. And people like that, who she wouldn't know who I am because I stopped doing stand-up, but like, I miss hanging out with those people. So what I'm saying is, I'm glad you're here, because it's good to be around comedians
again. Yes.
All right. So my guest is Kristen Leidy, not Katie Bowman. Katie was very rude and got stuck at O'Hare, and she is dead to me. But we will give away tickets to Kristen's show this weekend. Text in if you want to see Kristen this weekend at the Green Bay Fringe Festival. We're going to hear some of her comedy coming up next, and I've got a whole bunch more questions for my in-studio guest and Green Bay native, Kristen Leidy. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Let her know. Tell you that she wants me back. Tell her no. I gotta go.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News special report. President Biden won't be shaking hands of voters for a bit after testing positive for COVID. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The announcement was made by the head of Unidos U.S., which was holding its conference in Las Vegas, where the president had been scheduled to speak. She added she was deeply honored that the president called her himself to express his disappointment.
Biden will self-isolate in Delaware. The Republicans are on night three of their national convention in Milwaukee. Former Trump advisor Peter Navarro was just released from prison today after serving time for refusing to cooperate with a congressional investigation into the U.S. Capitol attack.
If they can come for me, and if they can come for Donald Trump, be careful, they will come for you.
Republican VP nominee J.D. Vance speaks tonight. Ohio delegate Bonnie Ward.
What he will give tonight, I'm not sure, but what he'll give tonight is you'll find all about him and how personal he is.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Add one more to the list, we've had yet another tornado touchdown in the Badger State. The National Weather Service confirmed an EF1 twister touchdown in Keeler on Monday. It ripped the roof off of a classic supper club there. The family who owns it has now started a GoFundMe. We've had such an unusual tornado season here this year. 21 twisters so far in 2024. All of last year, we only had 21 of them. And with new legislative maps here in Wisconsin, and there's a lot at stake in November. Republican strategist Keith Gilka says the down ballot races will be key.
People from the community know their community, have connections to their community, and know how to go out there and win races.
Thursday is the final full day of the convention. Former President Donald Trump will give the keynote address in the evening. That's when he'll formally accept the Republican Party's nomination for president. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Add one more to the list, we've had yet another tornado touchdown in the Badger State. The National Weather Service confirmed an EF1 twister touchdown in Keeler on Monday. It ripped the roof off of a classic supper club there. The family who owns it has now started a GoFundMe. We've had such an unusual tornado season here this year. 21 twisters so far in 2024. All of last year, we only had 21 of them. And with new legislative maps here in Wisconsin, and there's a lot at stake in November. Republican strategist Keith Gilka says the down ballot races will be key.
People from the community know their community, have connections to their community, and know how to go out there and win races.
Thursday is the final full day of the convention. Former President Donald Trump will give the keynote address in the evening. That's when he'll formally accept the Republican Party's nomination for president. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson for Civic Media News.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cooler tonight, lows in the low 50s. Sunshine and pleasant again tomorrow, highs upper 70s. And more sun Friday, high near 80. Temperatures continue to warm into the weekend with some slight chances for showers and storms. Highs into the low 80s. Currently, it's 66.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society.
Todd Alba. Hey, everybody, join us next time as we wrap up the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. Lincoln Project co-founder Reed Galen will be our guest. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. My guest in studio is Kristen Leidy. She's a local comedian here in Northeast Wisconsin. We are broadcasting statewide. But if you want to see Kristen this weekend, you're going to have to come to Northeast Wisconsin. Tell us a little bit more about the Fringe Festival.
Yeah, it's going to be super fun. It'll be at the Green Bay Community Theater. We've got comedians from Los Angeles, Denver, Omaha, Bloomington, Indiana. Yeah, we got them, baby.
How'd you swing that?
I got friends. But we're all part of the record label called Burn This Records, which was started by Brandy Posey in Los Angeles. And was her mission was to get working class comics in front of industry and, you know, get us a label. And since then, I've been on, you know, got my record released. It's been featured on Sirius XM. I got tracks on there. So it's been pretty exciting.
That's so cool. Let's talk about your album before
sure.
I want to hear some of your comedy. But let's talk about this album because it just came out in April and you recorded it last fall. Where can people see it? What is there a theme to it regarding your stand up or what inspired you?
Yeah. You know, I probably would have never recorded an album if I hadn't been pushed by friends to do so. So my friend JT Herbersat runs Altercation Fest down in Austin. And he was like, hey, you should record an album at my fest this year. And I was like, whoa, okay. So we did that. It was the best night of my life. And
really,
you know, it's material I've been building for, you know, kind of since I started comedy like 11 years ago. And yeah, Brandy picked it up on her label. And then I released it on vinyl, which was completed this week. So I've got beautiful green vinyl of this album as well. And the work features a lot of talking about, you know, my union work, growing up in Green Bay, growing up Catholic, trying to date, being a sober person in Green Bay, all that fun stuff.
All right. I want to ask you about those. But first of all, it's called Disassociation Vacation, right?
Yes.
The album. So if you Google that. I promise I will learn how to use Google because I do need it if I want to find your album. So check that out. You have vinyl. That is really cool because you have a vinyl album just like George Carlin had a vinyl album.
That was kind of a something that made me want to do it because when I was little, me and my grandpa used to listen to comedy on vinyl and Carlin, Class Clown. Man. That was a big one, you know. So it was just kind of always instilled on me like that's what you do.
That's so cool. So is it hard to be sober? In Green Bay?
You know, I am 6 years, no alcohol now. And when I first moved back, it was challenging just because, you know, a lot of our festive activities center around alcohol. And now I've reached
like
a
breakfast?
Place. Yeah. And now I've reached a place where other people drinking doesn't interfere with my mood at all.
Nice.
Unless they're super wasted, then I need to leave.
But are you done drinking forever?
I think so.
Yeah.
I didn't like who I was when I drank.
Who were you?
Oh, a really chaotic, messy person.
Were you Ryan Reynolds when you drank? No, I honestly, and I've talked about this on the show, I stopped drinking about a year and a half ago. I didn't have a problem unless not being able to walk to bed was a problem without falling over. No, I would just, you know, have a couple whiskeys, but a couple every night.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't terrible, but I was just like, you know what? I want to try to do this. And I had done it a couple times before that, but I feel great. And maybe I'll have another drink. I do miss a good old fashioned or a martini. I'm probably making you want to drink right now, but, you know, but I don't know. I got to say, it's pretty fun being sober. And I live in Northeast Wisconsin too. That is not an easy task.
No, I do like waking up in the morning and, feeling good.
Yeah.
That's new. That's pretty great. I
Absolutely.
Enjoy that. Yeah, I don't really miss alcohol anymore.
Do you do drugs?
No. I know.
Well, yeah, that makes it easier, Pete. I don't have
I'm just out here in reality.
Look
100%.
At you. I know coffee is like my favorite part
oh,
of the
yeah.
day.
I could never give that up.
I love it. Yeah. You said something. Oh, growing up Catholic. So mm-hmm. did you go to Catholic school?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
St. Peter and Paul.
Here in Green Bay?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to church a lot?
When they made me, yeah.
the school made you, right?
Yeah.
When I was a kid in Catholic school in Chicago on the Northwest side, it was called Our Lady of Victory. We met in church at daily mass every day, and then we would walk to the school.
Oh, wow.
I mean, if you want to chase people away from the Catholic religion, make sure they go to church every day.
Yeah, it's a fun time.
That's a lot, right?
It's too much.
And I remember one time when we had to make our first confession, we were in line, and the priest, we were horsing around in line. You know, mm-hmm. Like in third grade, we have nothing to confess anyway.
Yeah.
And the priest comes out, he says, knock it off. And I'm like, I was the next kid in. I'm like, he knows it's me now. Whatever I say, it's kind of like cheating. So that's kind of cool. So do you, are you still Catholic? Do you still practice?
No.
Okay. That's okay. There's no judgment. So let's talk about Conrad. Do you have some, do you have the, a clip of Kristen's comedy lined up?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Here is a sampling of Kristen's comedy. You can hear her at the Green Bay Fringe Festival. That's this weekend. And here she is right now.
So I'm a sober person. I just hit 5 years sober. Thank you. Your polite applause feels just as good as getting drunk used to. It doesn't. Yeah, I moved back home to Green Bay, Wisconsin to get sober, which is a sentence no one has ever said before. It's going good. Like, my getting sober, it wasn't court-ordered or anything, but there were a few moments along the way that provided space for me to reflect upon my actions. Number one, I was, whoops-a-daisy, woke up with a tattoo. Anybody here ever wake up with a tattoo? Ooh, look at us, we don't have a problem. Thought you were cool, Chicago, whatever. And then the other thing that happened is I said the phrase, I didn't start this fight, but I'll finish it. At the farmer's market.
That's, is that a true story?
It is. That Wednesday night farmer's market gets
in
wild.
Chicago? Or
no,
here?
Right here on Broadway.
You finished a fight at the farmer's market. Was it over kettle corn or something?
Someone cut in line for the baked cheese, and I was not having it.
Wow. You wanted that baked cheese.
It was really good.
I was at Who Hut once here in Green Bay, and I cut in line accidentally. I didn't know the line was there. And this woman, who was twice my size, said, get out of this line.
We don't like a line cutter.
No, and I'm like, I'm sorry. And I thought she was going to like eat me or something. I'm like, it was just for like, and whatever. Okay. So you have a good heckler story. I'm sure you've been heckled like all comics, or a good bad crowd story.
You know, honestly, I haven't really been heckled a lot. What I get sometimes is the supportive person who thinks that they're like helping.
Oh, that's the worst.
And they'll be like, you're funny. And I'm like, okay, drunkie. You're ruining the show.
Say that right
show.
Before my punchline. I love that.
I know. Yeah. Step all over me. Thank you.
That's
love
hilarious.
It.
I was doing stand up once on the south side of Chicago, and I got off the stage. And as I'm leaving, there's a table full of really young guys, like probably 21, 22. And I just, it wasn't a great set. And I walk past and I hear the one guy lean over to his friend and go, finally.
Oh, ouch.
But what can you do? You just have to laugh. It's I know I chewed it, you know, terrible.
Yeah, we all have those nights.
What are your goals when it comes to stand-up comedy? You obviously have this other gig, you're organizing unions, but just to be a really great stand-up, do you want your own sitcom one day, social media sensation? Do you want to do nails? What do you want to do?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of rare as far as comedians go, because I'm just really happy to perform, and as long as people will come and see me, I love that. You know, I think my main goal would be to establish an independent room here in Green Bay that gets a good following, and people see that comedy is like music and that there's different genres, and like there is like a fun punk rock leftist comedy scene.
My guest is Kristen Leidy. You can see her at this weekend's Green Bay Fringe Festival here in Green Bay. And if you text in and you want to go, we'll give you two tickets. Sherry from Horicon says, love coffee. I knew Sherry was going to say that.
Yeah, Sherry.
I think she said that before. She says she stopped drinking 25 years ago.
Whoa, congrats. That's awesome.
It is awesome, but she must be really thirsty. Hi-yo! Come on, don't laugh at that, Kristen. You'll only encourage me. So why don't we do this? Why don't we play, since Katie can't be with us, we kind of clip some of her comedy too. She'll be performing at Fringe Fest as well?
Yes.
Okay, so originally, folks, what we had here was Katie Bowman was going to join Kristen in the studio. Katie got stranded at O'Hare. She's probably at a craps table right now, let's be honest. But she will be here this weekend, too, at Fringe Festival. And if I made that joke and she actually has a gambling problem, I apologize. But let's hear some of Katie Bowman's stand-up right now.
I just passed our six-year mark in our relationship. Yeah.
It's really crazy. And like, whenever you get that far, you just start thinking about all your first moments. And one of my favorite first moments to think about is the first fight, right? Like, we all love a first fight, because that's when you truly see each other. You know, you're just choking each other out. No, I'm just kidding. But, but, you know, you get into it. And he really thought that this phrase was going to, like, be like, oh, wow, I feel bad. Katie feels bad, you know? Like, he was like, sometimes I just feel like you're trying to change me. And I was just like, yeah, that's what a relationship is. Like, and if you're not getting what I'm saying, is I'm a pansexual woman in a straight-facing relationship, all right? I've dated a few straight boys, and I can tell you this. There's not a woman in this room dating a straight man that's like, yes, I love you at your factory settings. I love when you leave the toilet seat up. It makes me feel like I got a job. You don't clip your toenails, okay. I've always wanted to know what it's like to fucking Middle Earth. Thank you. I've been traveling around telling that joke, and some men get really pissed about it. And I'm like, dude, I get this from your wedding vows, okay? Like, every wedding I go to, the guy's like, you showed me how to make a sandwich.
That's Katie Bowman. She was supposed to be here tonight. She's stuck at O'Hare. She will be at Fringe Festival. Is it the Fringe Festival? Am I saying that
right? I think so,
the Fringe Festival here in Green Bay. Yeah. Where can people get tickets to see Katie? Can we give those? Either one of you, right? Because you're controlling the comedy venues. So.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. Katie will be on the Thursday night show and Friday night show.
Okay, very cool. That's really cool that you have that here in Green Bay. I think that's fantastic. And I saw that on Facebook, I think like a month ago. And I was like, oh, I got to look into this. And I never did. And you just kind of fell into my lap anyway, thanks to Todd Michaels. So this worked out really well.
Thanks, Todd.
Who do you think is really funny right now that does stand-up comedy?
I love Julio Torres. He's probably my favorite stand-up comedian. He's behind the movie Problemista and the show Phantasms. He just has a really avant-garde, magical sense of narrative. And I love it. It's almost like childlike in a way.
Interesting. And he's a stand-up. Nice. Who else? Do you have influences that, like, you said Maria Bamford before. Who did you grow up watching?
I definitely grew up on George Carlin and Bill Hicks. You know, those were kind of like the prominent comedians I had access to. You know, it was pre-internet days. So,
yeah.
There wasn't a lot out there.
You get like a pirated VHS tape or something. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bill Hicks was great. I worked with him in Milwaukee, and this is before anybody knew he had cancer. I can't remember, we were in the condo for some reason. It was after all the Saturday shows. And he said, you know what? If you were a real pal, I just met him. We weren't that good of friends. But he said, you drive me to Maxwell Street in Chicago right now so I could get a Polish sausage.
Oh, yeah.
2 o'clock in the morning. And I, you know, if I had known he had pancreatic cancer, I would have said, let's go.
Yeah.
But I said, I can't drive. I had been drinking. I can't drive to Chicago. And I live in Chicago. I would have just wanted to stay in my own bed then. But to this day, I kind of wish I would have done it. That would have been really cool. And because watching him work was so, to be as edgy as he could be and talk about the things he could talk about and make them funny. Mm-hmm. That's like another level of art.
Definitely. Yeah. That's why I love Maria Bamford, too, because she'll just talk about the darkest, most depressing things you could think of
right.
in terms of like mental health and make it hilarious.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about comedy is creating that sense of community.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any other dates coming up in Wisconsin?
In Wisconsin.
Look it up. We'll do this and we'll come back. All right. Well, here we're, we'll dig it. We'll do a deep dive into Kristen's calendar coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
So, Jim, this is kind of cool. Jim says on the text line, so glad you are on with good comedy after the political overload all day. Feels great. Thank you, Jim from Appleton. Jim always has great texts. And I just want to say tomorrow night on the show, Abby Novak will be here talking about, it's Light the Night Appleton, right, Conrad?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll have Abby. Abby was here last week. She's kind of the girl who knows everything about Appleton. And she could probably be on the show every week because it sounds like Appleton has something going on every week. She'll be on tomorrow night, and comedian Johnny Beaner will be here. We got a lot of comedy coming up on the show, folks. Pat McGann will be with me on Monday night at 7:30. I'll be doing the show from Madison, our Madison studios. And we just found out, Conrad, Marta Hansen will be on the show Monday. How cool is that? Remember her? She did that song, The Lasts.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, Terry Barr brought her a few Fridays ago, and she will be joining me live in studio after we talk to Pat in Madison. That will be really fun. She is great. Have you heard of Marta Hansen?
No. Where's she out of?
She is out of, I think, Madison.
Nice.
And she, what did she have some skill? Like she made her own pianos, I think, or something like that.
Wow. Yeah.
I love talking to people who are so much smarter than me. It's ridiculous. And I can just ask them questions about what they do all night because it's so different and cool. So my guest right now is Kristen Leidy, and you can see her this weekend at the Fringe Festival here in Green Bay with her friend Katie Bowman, who is not with us tonight. Was supposed to be, but she's held up in Chicago. Hopefully I shouldn't say held up in Chicago. That could mean something else, but she'll be here this weekend, God willing, and both very funny comedians. Check them out this weekend. Do you have a favorite club to work? And if you have dates in Wisconsin, please tell us where we can see you, aside from the Fringe Festival.
Yeah, I would say one of my favorite clubs to work is the Laughing Tap in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's comic run and just a wonderful space. They absolutely do it because they love comedy and they love the Wisconsin comedy scene. And I'm going to be featuring there the weekend of September 13th for nice. Kate Willett, which I'm very excited about. She's very fun.
I've heard of her, yeah.
Yeah, she's great. And a lot of my dates are around the Midwest. In the next month, I'm going to be in, Minneapolis, Madison, Milwaukee, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Nice.
I'm featuring for Brian Posehn in October in Tulsa.
Oh, I know Brian. Oh, nice.
I'm very excited about that.
His wife was kind of my manager for a little while, Melanie. She's great.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and Brian's such a good guy. I don't know him well, but he's a very good guy.
Yeah, we worked together in Austin last month, and I hosted for him at the Creek in the Cave. So I'm excited to get to work with him again. So nice and so funny.
So when is your Madison date, and what is that club?
Yeah, Madison, I will be at the at Comedy on State on Thursday, August 8th, as part of Madison Comedy Week.
Cool.
And then on the 9th, that Friday, I'll be at the Burr Oak as part of the fest, too.
Very nice. The Laughing Tap is owned by Greg Bach, who
yes!
is a personality here at Civic Media. Greg's great.
Greg is so great.
Yeah.
I love him.
That's so cool. Well, check out, and do you have a website we can push here?
Yeah, KristenLeidy.com.
KristenLeidy.com. It's L-Y-T-I-E, KristenLeidy.com. Check it out. So what, of all those rooms you just said, or is there a room that's your favorite, like other than the Laughing Tap? Like, let's say, tell us locally where you like to perform in Northeast Wisconsin. What's the best room around here?
Yeah, locally, I love to perform. It's kind of silly, but my friends have a record store, and it's called the GBUFO Museum and Gift Shop.
which confuses everybody, but it is a record store. And, you know, sometimes we'll just do makeshift shows there and, you know,
that's
throw
so cool.
chairs in. And it's a very fun time.
Very nice. All right. So I ask most of my guests this because I love to talk about TV and movies.
Oh, and the Tarleton. I'm sorry.
Oh,
that's a great venue here in Green Bay.
For stand-up comedy?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
nice.
They really support local artists.
Oh, Tarl's been on the show. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
That's so cool. All right. So what are you watching on TV? Can you recommend something? Something you binge watch?
I live under a rock, so currently I am watching The Sopranos for the first time.
Nice. All right. It's funny you say that because I just did a rewatch of that show probably less than a year ago. And what are your thoughts on it? Because I remember watching it when it came out and I really liked it. And I liked it now, but I do think it seemed dated. Do you get that sense watching it for the first time?
It's a little bit. I do think it aged well, but there are some instances like when they're talking about the Columbus controversy, the dialogue feels a little heavy-handed and not natural.
Oh yeah.
But overall, I think it's aged pretty okay compared to some things I've rewatched.
Who are your favorite characters on The Soprano, and who are your least favorite characters?
I hate Christopher. I hate him so much. Such a jerk. And he's so mean to Adrian.
Yeah.
Adriana, I mean. I love Carmela, actually. I love a wife with moxie. I don't understand how all these women just throw themselves at
Tony.
The doughy dad.
What
that
is the
Tony.
Deal? Did that start the dad bod craze or something? Like, I thought it was a bunch of guys on Madison Avenue in the ad world that got sick of doing sit-ups, so they started pushing that the dad bod was the thing.
Yeah.
But Tony Soprano, come on. I know he's powerful.
Yeah.
But, and I like Carmela. She's a Tony.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who I don't like is I get sick of that Polly Walnuts.
Oh, yeah.
And then, he's funny, but, and then the sister and the mom of
Tony.
Oh,
my God. Yeah.
Well, it got to the point where on my second viewing, I would fast forward. I'm like, I can't. The sister is such a train wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever, Tony is too.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, oh, they're hard to watch sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that everyone is like in their own therapy sessions. I'm like, well, at least they're trying. Yeah.
Right, exactly. What about, we got about a minute left. Blockbuster movies, have you seen anything? Any of the summer films?
Oh, Long Legs was amazing. Maxine was amazing. I love horror. I do a podcast about horror movies. So anything horror, I am 100% on board.
I wish I had known you'd seen Maxine. We could have
I
just
so good.
Saw that 2 days ago. It was good. Did you see X?
Yes, and Pearl.
I have not seen Pearl.
Oh, yeah. I think Pearl is my favorite of the three.
Terry Bell said that last night. He was on giving us an update from the RNC, but he's also a movie buff. He said the same thing about Pearl, so I'm gonna have to watch that. And I have not seen Long Legs. I had very jaded friends on Facebook saying, this was terrible, but
nah, it's fun.
Most of the critics love it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You we recommend
love
it?
Yeah, I love a throwback to the Satanic Panic and all that fun stuff.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, it's a good time.
Conrad, I think we should go see Long Legs this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm not a horror film fan.
Okay, I guess just hanging out with me isn't enough. All right.
We can't power on, I'm
this
sorry.
Is, all right. Conrad is taking a knee in our friendship. All right, so this was very fun. Thank you, Kristen. And
yeah,
good luck with the Fringe
me.
Festival this weekend. I hope you guys crush it. And I hope Katie makes it here.
Me too.
She's around next week. Have her call me. We'll have her in.
We'll
get to know her a little bit. That would be fun. And join us tomorrow night. Abby Novak will be here and comedian Johnny Beaner. Great to have you with me here on Nightlight tonight. Wherever you join me from, I hope you're having a wonderful, safe evening. And we will see you tomorrow night. On behalf of Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning includes our Women Win Wisconsin segment. Then the Republicans wrap up their convention and their own plans to win Wisconsin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Dino! Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.